Chapter 9. Infiltration. Ambush. Sons of Angron. The assault boat docked quickly and without incident, the pilot having avoided radar and long-range scans to insert the Astartes squads outside the main thoroughfares of Bacca Triumviron 14. Antigues, clad in the blue and gold of his legion's honour guard, was first out of the assault boat, speeding from the embarkation ramp. Chainsword held low at his hip, and adopting a crouching stance, he moved stealthily across an open plaza of steel plates, flanked by towering cranes and disused craft in for non-urgent repairs. The few servitors meandering back and forth on tracks and slave to an aerial rail system ignored the Astartes. Working through pre-assigned protocols as dictated by their command wafers, they were not even aware of their presence. Close behind the Ultramarine, one of the World Eaters, Hargrath, gave the servitors a wary glance as he piled through the open channel with his battle brothers.
"Pay them no heed,"
Antigues hissed, looking back to check on his charges. Hargrath nodded and continued on his way towards the massive crimson horizon ahead, visible across the entire length of the shipyard. The Furious Abyss, the largest vessel any of them had ever seen.
"Keep in cover," said Antigues, as the plaza gave way to a maze-like refueling and maintenance bay full of passing loaders and stacks of drums.
The Ultramarine was careful to keep his squad out of the view of the labouring indentured workers and other menials busying themselves at the dock. They clung to the shadows, using them like a second skin. Once they had reached their destination, their targets would be the engines and ordnance ports. The Ultramarine checked a bandolier of crack grenades at his hip. There was a cluster of melter bombs flanking it on the opposite side, and as the Furious Abyss drew closer, he hoped it would be enough. Bryn Gaar was festooned with trophies and fetishes, wolf's teeth and claws, and a necklace of uncut gemstones, polished pebbles carved with runes. If he were to go to war at last against his brother Astartes, then he would do so in his full regalia. Let them witness the majesty and savage power of the Sons of Rus in their most feral aspect before they were torn asunder for their treachery. The Wolfguard was focused on the battle ahead, crushing all thoughts of his altercation with Cestus to the back of his mind for now. There would be a time for a reckoning later. It was only a pity that the Ultramarine had eschewed the mission in favour of overall command aboard the Wrathful. Bryn Gaar wanted to think him cowardly, but he had fought alongside the son of Gilliman many times, and knew this not to be the case. It was probably a display of the 13th Legion's much-vaunted tactical acumen. The Space Wolves' aspect of attack was a narrow cordon riddled with junked carriers used for spare parts. It was more like an open warehouse with machine carcasses piled high and banded tightly together to prevent them toppling when stacked. Servitors, slave to loaders, hummed back and forth amongst the towers of rusted metal, like bees harvesting a nest. If they cared about the Space Wolf captain and his blood claws, tooled up with broad-bladed axes and bolt pistols and weaving criss-cross fashion through their domain, they did not show it. Bryn Gaar knew that he would spill blood this day, and it would be the blood of his erstwhile brothers. This was no fight against mere heathen men, misguided in their beliefs, nor was it foul Xenos breeds ever intent on corralling the human galaxy to their yoke. No, this was Astartes against Astartes. It was unprecedented. Thinking of the devastation the word-bearers had already wrought, the Space Wolf took a better grip of Feltooth and vowed to make the traitors pay for their transgressions.
"They are making their final approach towards the dock," said Kaminska, poring over the hololithic tactical display in front of her command throne.
Having been preparing the other Ultramarines for potential combat and distributing them around the ship accordingly, Cestus had returned to the bridge and joined the Admiral at the tactical display table. Hazy runes moved over a top-down green-rimed blueprint of Bacca Triumviron 14, indicating the progress of the three attack waves heading for the immense swathe of bulky red that represented the Furious Abyss. The ship's Magos, Agantes, had tapped into one of the satellite feeds of the orbital moon and was using it to reroute images to the Wrathful's tactical network. It had a short delay, but was an otherwise excellent way to keep track of their forces on the ground. Even so, Cestus felt impotent, directing the action from the relative safety of real space where the cruiser lingered to stay out of radar and sensorium range.
"Antigues, report!" he barked into the ship's vox, synced with his fellow Ultramarine's boosted helmet array.
"Assault Protocol Alpha proceeding as planned, Captain,"
Antigis's voice said after a few seconds' delay. The reply was fraught with static. Even with a boosted array rigged by the Rothful's engineers, the gulf of real space between them impinged greatly.
"We will be making our initial insertion onto the dock in T-minus 3 minutes."
"Well enough, Brother Antigis. Keep me appraised. If you meet any resistance, you have your orders," said Cestus.
"I shall prosecute my duties with all the fury of the Legion, my lord."
The vox cut out. Cestus sighed deeply. To think it had come to this. This was no foray into the jaws of alien overlords or the misguided worshippers of the arcane, not this time. It was brother versus brother. Cestus could barely bring himself to think on it. Fighting across the gulf of real space was one thing, but to be face to face with those who had betrayed the Emperor, those who had killed warriors they once called friend and comrade in cold blood, was indeed harrowing. It felt like an end of things, and the sense of it caught in the Ultramarine's throat.
"Admiral Kaminska," said Cestus, after the momentary silence, "you have risked much in the pursuit of this mission. You have done and continue to do me great honour with your sterling service to our cause."
Kaminska was clearly taken aback and failed to hide her shock from the Ultramarine completely.
"I thank you, Lord Astartes," she said, bowing slightly. "But if I am honest, I would have chosen to undertake this duty, although perhaps of my own volition," she added candidly.
Cestus's gaze was mildly questioning.
"I am the last of a dying breed,"
she confessed, her shoulders sagging, and not from physical fatigue.
"The Saturnine fleet is to be decommissioned."
"Is that so?"
"Yes, Captain. It doesn't do to have such an anachronism on the rostrum of the new Imperium. All those gentlemen in their powdered wigs talking about good breeding, it hardly speaks of efficiency and impartiality. Our ships are to be refitted for a new Imperial Navy. I'm a part of the last generation. I suppose I should be glad that at least Vorloff didn't see it. You see, Captain, this is really my last hurrah, the last great journey of the Rothful, as I know it."
Cestus smiled mirthlessly. His eyes were cold orbs, tinged with a deep sense of burden and regret.
"It might be for us all, Admiral."
Skral's assault force sped down the central channel of the dock, a loading bay for fuel and munitions tankers, with reckless abandon. The berserker fury was building within the world-eater captain, and he knew his battle brothers were experiencing the same rush. They were the sons of Angron, and like their lord, they were implanted with an echo of the neural technology that had unlocked the Primarch's violent potential. At the cusp of battle, the Astartes warriors could tap into that font of boiling rage and use it like an edged blade to cut their enemies down. After several bloody incidents, the Emperor had censured the further use of implants in the false belief that they made the world-eaters unstable killing machines. Angron, in his wisdom, had eschewed the edict of the Emperor of Mankind and had continued in spite of it. They were killing machines. Skral felt it in his burning blood and in the core of his marrow. But then what greater accolade was there for the eternal warriors of the Astartes? Though the orders of the Ultramarine Antigis had forbidden it, Skral encouraged his warriors to kill as they converged on the furious abyss. A spate of bloodletting would sharpen the senses for the battle to come. The only directive: leave none alive to tell or warn others of their approach. The world-eaters pursued this duty with brutal efficiency, and a trail of menial corpses littered the ground between the assault boat insertion point and their current position. Such reckless slaying had not, however, gone unnoticed.
"My lord!"
hissed Altis into the vox array of the observation platform. Zadkiel's voice responded from the Furious.
"It seems we are not alone,"
Altis concluded. The novice in command of the Scholar Coven consulted a hollow map of the entire dockyard. His gauntleted finger was pressed against a flashing diode near one of the many refueling conduits.
"Where is that?"
he demanded of the dockmaster, still engrossed in the refit and refuel of the vast starship.
"Tanker Yard Epsilon 4, my lord,"
said the dockmaster, who looked closer when he saw the flashing red diode.
"An emergency alarm."
The dockmaster moved to another part of the console and brought up a view screen. Warriors in blue and white power armor were visible in the grainy resolution surging through the tanker yard. Prone forms, dressed in worker fatigues, slumped in their wake, surrounded by dark pools.
"By terror," said the dockmaster, turning to face Altis, "they are Astartes."
The novice faced the dockmaster and shot the man through the face point blank with his bolt pistol. After his head exploded in a shower of viscera and bone-riddled gore, his streaming carcass slid to the deck. The rest of the dock crew on the observation platform had failed to react before the rest of the scholar coven had taken Altus's lead and shot them too. "The Astartes have tracked us here and move in on the Furious Abyss as we speak," said Altus down the vox. "I have eliminated all platform personnel to prevent any interference."
"Very well, Brother Altus. You have your orders," said Zadkiel's voice through the array.
Altus looked down through the building's windows to the expanse of the docking stage. Belarnus's assault squad was standing guard there.
"I shall show them what fates are written for them," said Altus, drawing his sword.
"Educate them," replied Zadkiel.
The battleship dock looked like a tangled web of metal as Skral and his warriors forged onward. Beyond that, the massive Furious Abyss loomed like a slumbering predator in repose. The stink of blood from the previous slaughter was heady through the world-eater captain's nose grill as he raced towards the end of the channel and the open dock beyond. The cordon tightened ahead, and the legionaries were forced together as they rifled through it. Just as Skral was feeling confident that they'd not been discovered, a group of word-bearers in crimson ceramite emerged before them to block their path. Bolter fire wreathed the opening, lighting up the half-dark of the channel with four-pronged muzzle flares. Kellogg, the warrior next to Skral, took a full burst in the chest that tore open his armour and left him oozing blood. Kellogg crumpled and fell, both his primary and secondary hearts punctured. The combat squads were pinned on either side by fuel drums stacked against bulky warehouse structures. Fleeing menials and mindless servitors, alerted by the commotion, wandered into their path and were cut down with chain blades or battered by shields as the world-eater sought to close with a foe and wrest the advantage back. One of the drums was struck by an errant bolter round and exploded in a bright bloom of yellow-white fury. A fiery plume spilled into the air like ink in water, and a wrecked servitor was cast like a broken doll at the edge of its blossoming blast wave. Three world-eaters were shredded by the concussive force of the explosion and smashed aside into the metallic siding of a warehouse unit. The siding didn't yield to the sudden impact of massed flesh and ceramite, and the two warriors were crushed. Skral felt the heat of the explosion against his face, even through his helmet, as the warning sensors went crazy. He staggered, but kept his footing, and yelled the order to charge. Antigues was stalking through the refueling bay when he heard the explosion from across the dock and saw fire and smoke billowing into the air. They were close. The Furious Abyss, a dense, dark wall, filled the ultramarine sights.
"Antigues! Report!"
Cestus's voice said through the helmet vox, the tactical display obviously registering the sudden influx of heat.
"An explosion in the central channel. I fear we are discovered, Brother Captain.
Get over there, unite your forces, and push on through to the Furious."
"As you command, Captain,"
he replied, and ordered his combat squads through a maze of piping that connected to the central channel, where he knew Skral and his insertion team were placed. As they moved, Antigues at the lead, a shadow fell across the ultramarine, cast by the vast observation platform overlooking the dock above. Out of instinct, he looked up and saw the line of crimson-armoured warriors bearing down on them with bolter and plasma gun. Death rained down in a hail of venting promethium and spent electrum. Antigues rolled out of its way into the shadow of the docking clamp. Hargarth was distracted and a fraction slower. He paid for his laxity when a bolt of searing plasma blasted a hole in his torso, cooking the world-eater in his armour. He fell with a resounding clang, the wound cauterized before he hit the ground. Several of his brothers heaved his body towards them, but to act as improvised cover rather than out of any sense of reverence for their dead comrade. Antigues replied with barking retorts of his bolt pistol, half-glimpsing the target above between bursts of chipped plascrete and metal as the docking clamp was chewed up around him. The rest of the world-eaters followed his lead, stowing storm shields and drawing bolt pistols, their weapons adding to the return fire. Menials, put to flight at the start of the attack and spilling into the rapidly erupting war zone, were ripped apart in the crossfire. The roar of gunfire and the shriek of shrapnel mangled together with their screams. Antigues pressed up against the closest docking clamp and looked around it, gauging the terrain leading the rest of the way to the Furious Abyss. The docks formed a landscape of narrow fire lanes between clamps and fuel tanks. Above was the observation platform, strung on metal struts, and beyond that, rings of steel holding fueling gantries, defense turrets, and bouquets of sensor spines. Antigues slammed himself back against the steel of the docking clamp as bolter fire continued to pin them.
"Captain, we are ambushed!" he yelled into the Vox in an attempt to overcome the din.
Despite his volume, the Ultramarine's tone was calm as he cycled through a number of potential battle protocols learned by rote during his training. There was a moment's pause as the message went through, and his captain assessed the options open to him.
"Relief is incoming," came the clipped reply. "Be ready."
After a second bout of return fire, a chain of small explosions erupted across the observation platform, showering frag. Beyond the destruction and across the dockyard, embarkation ports were opening in the side of the furious abyss. Antigues was on his feet and bellowing orders before the resulting smoke had cleared.
"Don't give them time! Hit them! Hit them now!"
The Astartes broke cover and charged, leaving the dead in their wake. 200 robed cohorts in the crimson of the word-bearers emerged from the furious abyss and charged right back.
"Open fire!"
shouted Antigues. The Ultramarine felt the immediate pressure wave of discharged bolt pistols behind him as the world-eaters obeyed. The effect was brutal. Lines of the crudely armoured word-bearer lackeys fell beneath the onslaught. Bodies pitched into their comrades jerked and spun as the munition struck. Blood sprayed in directions too numerous to count, and the corpses mounted like a bank of fleshy sandbags, tripping those following. There was only time for a single volley, and the disciplined Astartes holstered pistols before closing with the first of the Furious' cannon fodder. A brutish cohort, scarred and tarnished like an engine ganger, came at Antigues with an axe blade. The Ultramarine met the ganger's roar with a screech of his chainsword, plunging it into the man's chest. The cohort fell, wrenching the weapon from Antigues' hand. The Astartes didn't pause, and threw the wretch aside with such force that the corpse spun in the air before crashing into its debased brethren. The Ultramarine drew his short blade, dueling shield already in hand, and cut down a second assailant with a low, arcing sweep. Rorgarth, a world-eater sergeant, came alongside Antigues and forged into the melee with brutal abandon. Limbs fell like rain as he churned through his enemies, his face a grisly mask of wrath without his helmet. Out of the corner of his eye, Antigi saw another of Rorgarth's kin decapitate a cohort officer trying to ram home the charge and extol his warriors to greater fervour. Others disappeared in clouds of red mist and the dreadful din of chain axes rending bone. Yet despite the relentless carnage wreaked upon them, the lowly cohorts refused to break, and the killing ground became mired in blood.
"They're fanatics," grumbled Rorgarth, burying his blade in the face of an oncoming cohort. "Drive them back," snarled Antigues through gritted teeth, smashing an enemy with the blunt force of his dueling shield.
About to redouble his efforts, the Ultramarine fell back as two or three bodies flew at him. In the madness, he dropped his short blade, but as he foraged for it in the sea of pressing bodies, he found the hilt of his chainsword. Tearing the weapon loose, Antigues cut a path through bone and flesh to free himself. Hands were grabbing at him to drag the Astartes down, and even as he tried to emerge, bullets rang off his armour. One of the world-eaters yelled in anger and pain. The furious abyss disappeared from view as more enemy crewmen threw themselves forward. This was not how men fought. Very few Xenos were content to simply die, even when there was something to be gained by it. That was why the Astartes were such lethal warriors. They were the ultimate weapon against any enemy tainted by natural cowardice, since a space marine could control and banish his own fear. The word-bearers had created another kind of enemy, one that even space marines could not break.
"Damn you!" hissed Antigues as he threw another man off him and was sprayed by a shower of blood as Rorgarth disemboweled yet another. "Now we have to kill them all!"
Driving on, pain burst against Antigues' side as a blade or a bullet found its way through his armour. He staggered, and it gave the enemy the opening they needed. A sudden flurry of cohorts sprang on the stricken Astartes. Then the weight of the attacks was dragging him down, their death cries and the smell of their sundered bodies filling his senses. Bryngar hefted his last belt of frag grenades at the observation platform. A cluster of explosions rippled over the pitted surface, hewing off chunks of ferrocrete and scorching metal. The assault had achieved its desired effect, forcing the ambushers above Antigis's position back for a few moments, who were unseen from the channel the Space Wolf and his blood claws charged down and switching their attention. Fire erupted again from the platform before the last of the grenades had even detonated, but this time their focus was upon the Wolf Guard and his squad. Bryngar's highly attuned animal senses picked up on the stink of cordite and blood and the sporadic clatter of weapons fire, and he assumed that his brother Ultramarine was otherwise occupied, hence their popularity. Rujveld slid into cover beside his venerable leader as he appraised the disposition of the ambushers strafing them. Fire streaked down from the observation gallery and prevented them joining the fight beyond.
"They knew we were coming," Bryngar growled to the stony-faced Bloodclaw. "What are your orders, Wolfgard?"
Bryngar turned his feral gaze onto his pack-brother.
"We bring them down,"
he grinned, displaying his fangs.
"Yol! Borund!"
bellowed the Space Wolf captain, and two of his charges abandoned their ready positions to approach their leader.
"Melt the bombs," snarled Bryngar. "One of those struts."
He pointed to the source of the platform's elevation. Yorl and Borund nodded as one, priming their melter charges before heading across a gauntlet of open ground that led to the structure. Withering fire struck the first Bloodclaw before he ventured more than a few feet, the impacts kicking him off his feet and spinning him around before he fell in a bloody heap. Borund had greater fortune. A feral war cry on his lips as he reached the base of the platform. Clamping the charge onto one of the struts, he took a hit in the shoulder. Another struck him across the torso, as word-bearers positioned near the building's base realized what he was doing. Borund pressed the detonator before they could stop him. He roared in savage defiance as the melter bomb exploded, vaporizing him in a flare of superheated chemicals. The platform held. Bryngar was about to head into the gauntlet to finish the job when a second explosion erupted after the first. The Space Wolf captain turned away from the sudden blast, an actinic stench prickling his nostrils when he looked back. The sound of wrenching metal followed, and the observation platform finally collapsed, kicking up clouds of dust and ferrocrete. The structure was robust, and Astartes could withstand worse. There would be survivors. Unconcerned where the secondary blast had come from, Bryngar got to his feet and howled in triumph. Running across the open to the ruined mass of crumpled metal and broken ferrocrete, he swung his rune axe in preparation for battle, knowing that his blood claws were right behind him. Aboard the Wrathful, Cestus wore a pained expression as he reviewed the tactical display. Frantic vox chatter was coming in over the ship's array, but it was indistinct and impossible to discern. The three icons, representing the relative positions of his assault teams, had stalled. A silver icon, indicating the Space Wolves and Bryngar's warriors, was moving slowly towards an area obscured by a sudden belt of smoke and bright light, hazing the readout. Judging from the schematic, this was the observation platform. Cestus assumed that the attack had been successful. Elsewhere, in a flanking channel close by, an azure icon represented Antigis and was shown embroiled in a brutal close-quarters fight against massed enemies. The dark slab of crimson that was the Furious Abyss was not far beyond the melee, but it didn't appear as if the Ultramarine was making progress. All Cestus's subsequent attempts to raise Antigis on the Vox had thus far failed. A third icon, depicted in stark white, converged on Antigis's position. To Cestus's dismay, they were not alone.